You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. There we are, back in the right order. Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show lined up for you today. Andra Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, and she also grew up in a Christian nationalist household. She's going to be joining us once a month for some updates. A lot of Christian nationalists were involved in the writing of Project 2025. And we are seeing now some of the fruits of that. And that, I would say, is pretty easily evidenced by the head of the Department of Defense, Pete Hegseth, retweeting his pastor. And Pete Hegseth's pastor wants to see the 19th Amendment repealed. Because women shouldn't be voting, Greg.
Well, if you would just be in the kitchen while having babies barefoot, making dinners and meals and stuff like that, you wouldn't have time to vote. Or what? I'll tell you what, we'll compromise. Mm. We'll give every household two votes for every adult, and then the male can cast that vote.
For me?
Yeah.
Because I don't have but I'm just not smart enough.
I know that J.D. Vance put it out there, like, everybody in the house should get a vote, and then the parents should get, but that's crazy. Let's just start with, you entrust your vote to your husband.
Right.
Because he knows best, as P. Hegseth is the perfect example of guy knows best.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about that with Andra Watkins coming up after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, haven't talked to him in too long. Robert Pilot, who is with Native Roots Radio, is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about the decision to cut funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Public radio has been a big resource for Native populations across the country, including here in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk to Robert about what that's going to mean going forward. And then also in hour number two, as we do, we'll lighten it up, a little audio sorbet.
Oh, baby.
Get away from the news. Take a breath. This is coming from yesterday. I created this huge controversy.
Oh, it's all like, I kind of feel like I'm the one who...
Well, it was Casper.
Yeah, let's blame Chris.
We'll blame Chris Casper.
There we go.
We're going to do dill pickles versus sweet pickles.
Yeah, I don't even...
The war is on.
The war is won, people.
But the war is on.
The war is won. We know who wins. We know who's the best.
I'm not the only one who goes both ways. Come on.
You're just going to keep saying that, aren't
you?
Yeah, you're just going to keep saying that.
I am. So that's audio sorbet, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Sleeping Beauty Edition. There's a clue there.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that. We are continuing to recover from the flooding over the weekend. Every time now I drive around the city of Milwaukee, I see more people with stuff out on their curbs. Even coming down to Racine today, I saw a number of folks who had stuff out on their curbs. If you are still dealing with flooding like thousands and thousands of people are, do know that the city of Milwaukee will collect flood-damaged couches and carpeting from the curb. Yeah. You can't leave, though, small electronics, TVs, big gas appliances like your water heaters and stuff like that. That they ask you to either call for a pickup, a special pickup, or take it to one of the two drop-off centers, which are expanding their hours, and they're waiving all the fees
as well.
So that is through this week.
Okay.
Take advantage of it. The city opening up their drop-off centers until tomorrow at 7 p.m. No fee to drop off flood-related debris. Yard waste is canceled this week, obviously, so crews can focus on picking up the debris. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's really just an unbelievable mess. This from TMJ4, free cleanup supplies available today at Lowe's in Franklin and in Wauwatosa.
That's great. I mean, yeah, I feel, you know, I've got friends who are, you know, dealing with this stuff as well. And I'm just, once again, just feeling incredibly lucky that we did not have to worry about this, but my heart goes out to everybody. And please, please, please take advantage of these services if you can. And also, as we said yesterday, if you're someone who wasn't affected or has the ability, if you can offer up your laundry, offer up your shower, if they need to, a couch, just, you know, there are ways you can help if this hasn't affected your life that are very, very simple. And the laundry thing probably is going to be the biggest one, because some people are, as you said, without power.
Yep.
And therefore, you can't do anything in your house if you have no power.
Well, without power, and you also can't use your washer and dryer if they have been submerged. Mm-hmm. I have a washer dryer guy coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
We were so lucky. We only had 6 inches of water. I think Earl Ingram was on with Pat this morning.
Yeah.
They had 3 feet of water in their basement.
Goodness.
3 feet.
Ugh.
Again, we had 6 inches. We got off super easy.
Yeah.
What happened with Earl is he's not alone. There's lots of mm-hmm. people seeing more stories this morning about folks whose basement walls collapsed.
Yes.
That's massive structural damage. Will cost tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
And apparently won't be covered by insurance possibly. So
right.
There's that.
Each Lowe's store, again, the Lowe's in Wauwatosa and also in Franklin today, they're going to have more than 190 Lowe's buckets filled with supplies, with sponges and flashlights and water and trash bags and hand sanitizer. If you can, find a good squeezy mop and hang on to it because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
And they're at a priority. I had to go to Elm Grove on Monday when I was off. I had to go to Elm Grove to find a decent mop.
Jeez.
Because everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So also the one thing that they are asking, even for us, and again, 6 inches, that was nothing compared to what everybody else got. But they do want you to report if you had water in your basement. This gives them an opportunity to at least know how much damage, how widespread the damage was. Mm-hmm. So we're going to include these links in our show notes. A lot of it you can do online.
Okay.
Or you can call 211. You can also call the city. They're being inundated with calls. We'll find stuff and put it in the show notes.
Okay.
You're looking at me like, what? There's stuff available, but they do want you to report if you can. So again, at least they know how far the damage was, how extensive it was as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along. Bill Berrien has put his name in the ring to run for governor of Wisconsin. He's one of the two Republicans that we know of right now, three-ish if you count Tom Tiffany. Whitefish Bay Manufacturing CEO Bill Berrien says he wants to eliminate state permit requirements for gun owners who want concealed carry. Quote, I believe that every American is granted a carry permit, and that's in the form of the Second Amendment, and I think we need to get back to personal responsibility, freedom, and this focus on constitutional carry is one of those examples. I've shot tens of thousands of rounds during my time in the SEAL teams and a gun safe full of guns and all that. We should not have government assuming that everyone is incompetent, really, until they prove otherwise. It is their right under the Second Amendment, unquote. 855-752-4842. I'm not a gun owner. I have family members who are gun owners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is a stretch that we ask that people have one training class before they can conceal carry a weapon. Why is that such an egregious ask?
Well, I just want to look at the entirety of this statement, which is, I will say, very odd. Because, first of all, the assumption that we are incapable of handling firearms. We have enough gun violence in this country to show that, I don't want to say it's incompetence, but it's definitely ignorance in how to handle firearms. Well, maybe ignorance versus incompetence is the same thing, but I don't want to insult gun owners, but we, as a country, we have a problem with usage.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and because when Wisconsin came to the whole conceal carry game, which we were one of the states that came to it latest back in the day, from what I understand, the permit process is not a week-long, rigorous, multi-thousand-dollar thing. There's one being held at the Elks Lodge by my house almost every month.
For a gun training session?
For concealed carry permit. And yes, I'm sure there's training in there. They're not going to the back of the building to arrange to do that either. They're literally just looking at the rules that they need to do, checking off the boxes, probably taking a pretty simple test, and then getting your concealed carry permit. And from what I've been told by a friend of mine, he said, you don't even have to be a licensed trainer either. Like, you can just say, I'm going to do concealed carry permit classes.
Even though you don't have any kind of certification?
Yeah, I would love to. I honestly, if you've been through concealed carry training, please call us and tell us. I'd love to know, like, the ins, because I'm also not a gun owner. I don't plan on going to concealed carry training, but frankly, like, I don't think it's too much to ask for a small bit of one-time training to allow yourself to carry a weapon on your person. This isn't infringing on the Second Amendment to enforce this. I mean, we've been over this over and over and over again. People agree that we need stronger gun laws. We need background checks, red flag laws. We need those things. We should have those things. That's what we believe.
And the vast majority of Wisconsinites agree.
Yep. And I think if you read the article, see where he is when he's giving this interview. It's a very pro-Second Amendment platform he is on at the time when he's talking about it.
I also find it interesting that in this instance, for these big Second Amendment fans, they're very adamant that words be taken in context. Mm-hmm. Shall not be infringed is something I hear all the time.
Yeah.
These rights shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
That's written in concrete. That can't be changed. But when it comes to the census, and the census saying all persons should be counted, not citizens, that's not in concrete, though.
Well, and the same thing can be applied to the viewpoint of habeas corpus. All persons on this land are availed due process, regardless of your status, regardless of your citizenship.
Yes.
Yes. It's always the goalposts always change for them. And the other thing I want to say really quick is, quote, I've shot tens of thousands of rounds during my time in the SEAL teams, and a gun safe full of guns and all that. We should not have government assuming that everyone is incompetent until they prove otherwise. So I'm going to assume, sir, first of all, thank you for your service. Deeply and respectfully, thank you for your service. I'm going to assume tens of thousands of rounds shot during your time as SEAL was during your training to handle a gun in the Navy SEALs for the government.
So he'd handle it safely.
Unless you were just running around shooting guns.
One wonders.
Yeah.
Coming up, rewriting history at the Smithsonian. As one pundit puts it, this is bad. That's coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I've heard.
Yes.
That the Brewers are the best team in baseball right now.
Guys, throw away all the rest of the news. Sorry, Andrea, unless you want to talk about this, you're not talking about anything else. White nationalism can wait. We got to talk about the Brewers. I'm just kidding. That was a joke, people.
Yes. So we are giving you a chance to see the top team in baseball.
14-0 yesterday.
I know. They just smoked them. It's our free ticket Fridays. Join us this Friday. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. If you don't, go to your app store and look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It is
absolutely free.
And then you can be in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets at AmFam Field. You can be a winner just like Chris and Sun Prairie, Kimberly and Wauwatosa, Terry from Cross Plains, Jim in Brookfield, Penny from Plainfield, Kevin in Madison. You can join those winners. Join us on Free Ticket Fridays. Five shots. You got five chances.
And let me just add something really quick. So these are tickets for the this will be for the August 23rd game against San Francisco, the Giants, formerly of Brooklyn. And not only are these great seats, but you're going to get tickets to a Saturday game. These tickets are I've been looking for tickets for a game, and they are selling out so fast.
Oh, I bet.
So I mean, it is so crazy how quickly these games are selling out now. Everyone's loving it. So get on there, get that Civic Media app on your phone or your device, and text in the word when we give it to you on Friday for four tickets to Saturday, August 23rd against San Francisco. That will be a fantastic time.
Starts with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9. He'll have a word for you. Then we have a different one. Tom Hartman, the same. Also Todd Allbut, 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free ticket Fridays this coming Friday. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but this is very concerning. Let's be blunt, this is bad. MSNBC host alarmed by Trump's really dangerous new order. The White House ordering the Smithsonian Institution to align its exhibits with Trump's vision of American history.
Yeah.
This is the man who said that our Civil War troops were storming the airports, didn't he?
Oh, I believe it was the Revolutionary War.
Oh, is it the Revolutionary? Yeah, and then they were storming the airports?
They stormed the airports. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to go along with his vision of American history. That's just great. Eight museums are covered under this order. They have 120 days to replace divisive or ideologically driven language with unifying, historically accurate, constructive descriptions. So we're going to change history to make him feel better, essentially. S.E. Cup on MSNBC, they were talking about this last night. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
One of the first things Russia did after it invaded Ukraine illegally was have the Ministry of Culture review all the museums to make sure that they were sufficiently pro-Russian exceptionalism. Hmm. It took over around 40 museums in Ukraine. It turned one museum in Mariupol, Ukraine, into the museum of Andrei Zvanov, who was Stalin's propaganda minister.
Great.
This stuff happens all the time in totalitarian and authoritarian countries that want to whitewash history for the benefit of propaganda. It's not about highlighting, putting one thing in this corner versus that corner. It's the difference between history and propaganda.
We already saw this. They removed his impeachments from an exhibit.
And I was
was impeached twice, by the way. That happened.
In a year. What an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I also just always want to point out that, and I'm sure to many they'll say, Rhino, but S.E. Cup is a Republican, a conservative who is talking about this as well. So this is not some liberal rag. This is S.E. Cup, who is a respected and lauded journalist who is a Republican. And this is frightening. And we talked about this before. These are the distractions they are going to cause to keep you away from the big bill for billionaires, the Epstein files. But those distractions now have to elevate and escalate in their attention seeking to make you take your eyes off of what's really important, which is adding to our deficit and, you know, eventually letting a woman who took part in the Epstein crimes just go eventually.
She has work release now.
She'll have work release, yeah.
She has work release.
Yeah, so honestly, we could probably ask Andrew Watkins what she thinks those museums will look like with regard to a vision of American history.
Yeah, this is very, very troubling. Very, very troubling. As Jonathan Lemire said on MSNBC, this is really bad and really, really dangerous. A nation needs to know its history. It has to be honest about its history to learn from it, honor it, and grow and improve. There is no way rewriting history to fit one man's vision is good for a nation's health or good for our country's democracy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is one shining bright light in my heart about things like this is that in the age of access to information, more voices being able to be carried out into the world. For now, I understand, for now, we can still put that history out there in the world. The things that actually happened, this our true, sometimes shameful past needs to be out there and to reckon with it.
It's called owning it and acknowledging all of it.
Personal responsibility.
There you go. Coming up, taking away women's right to vote. It's all part of the plan, according to Project 2025. Andrew Watkins joins us next. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times best-selling author and has a great Substack called For Such a Time as This. Andra Watkins is here. Good morning, Andra. So good to see you.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here.
There's a lot to talk about.
There always is these there, days,
yes,
right?
Yes, there certainly is. This, Andra, by the way, in case you have never heard Andra, she's been a guest on our show before, but Andra grew up in a white nationalist household and so has really interesting insights, I think, that a lot of us don't have just because of your background. We've talked to you in the past about Christian nationalism and how important they were in the writing of Project 2025. And now we have Pete Hegseth, the head of the Department of Defense, who made headlines last week. He shared a video on social media showing his church pastors the communion of Reformed evangelical churches. His pastor thinks that women shouldn't have the right to vote.
And many white Christian nationalist men subscribe to this view. I applaud CNN for featuring these people, even though they featured them as some sort of really extremist outlier group. But what I want people to understand is there are millions of Americans who subscribe to these viewpoints. People have done, the Pew Research Organization has done a study of how many American Christians are radicalized Christian nationalists. And I ran some numbers, and it could be anywhere from 20 million to 60 million Americans who are radicalized. Maybe every single one of them don't think that women should have the right to vote repealed and the 19th Amendment repealed. But there are millions and millions of Doug Wilsons and his weak, pathetic Christian nationalist brethren that you met on CNN in the United States today. So please don't take that interview and Pete Hegseth's response to it as being, well, these are just a few wackos. It's millions and millions of Americans, and we have to take this radicalized religious extremism seriously.
What? And the preparation for this has been going on for decades. This movement,
yes.
This movement has been around and kind of operating in the background for a long, long time.
50 years. They've been working toward this for 50 years. So this kind of indoctrination is very commonplace in Christian nationalism, where men are the heads of the home and women submit to them, which they talked about in the interview, talked about it very proudly, but they expand that to all women are supposed to submit to men, that's the common order of society. We, you know, in my lifetime, women have gained a huge number of rights that for much of history, women did not have. There were rules from medieval times, at least, that were called coverture, that governed women's existence. And so women were owned by the men in their lives.
Right.
They weren't separate people. Women went from being their fathers being responsible to them for them. If they didn't have a father, then an uncle or a brother was responsible for them until they married. And then their husbands were responsible for them. And they were subsumed into their husband's asset class of things that they owned. And if they lost their husband and weren't remarried right away, then their father or their brother or their uncle or some other man became responsible for them. So In my lifetime, we've seen women be able to get away from that kind of ownership and do things like own property and have bank accounts and get their own credit and be able to have jobs and careers. And these are all things that these Christian nationalist men want to take back and remove from women. So it's not just about being in the home and submitting. It's women submit to men everywhere, all the time, just like, you know, in Afghanistan with the Taliban.
Back to the good old days, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
good old days for white Christian nationalist men.
Yeah, for white men. Yes. Times were great when you were me. Greg.
I got nothing to say. I don't represent the white men of any. I'm just me. Two things. One, whenever we talk about the context of white men, which I am one of those individuals, and I apologize. I always try to put myself into that thinking of how do you even come to that place? I guess I can never, because I was never, and I'll say it, indoctrinated, trained to think that way. The notion of women as property or women as subservient, or I am the head of this, or I am in charge. I was never raised in that kind of household from start to finish, so it makes no sense to me. But one of the things I really want to push home on this, Andra, is that the calculations of how many people believe in this, but also the fact that Pete Hegseth would retweet this 10, 15 years ago, this would never happen. You may believe it, but you're not dumb enough or bold enough, or maybe both, to say something out loud. What we are seeing now are politicians, influencers, journalists who agree with this and say it either like, well, I don't know, it's every family's different, or they come right out and say it. So it is absolutely not the fringe wackos. It is in our politicians. It is in our journalism. It is in our everyday life. And I'm not saying, oh, the person on your right might believe in that. But what I'm saying is you can't discount the idea that people who are voting on laws that represent us have these opinions, because as you said, Andra, it's been 50 years. It has been waiting in the tall grass. So don't think these people are wackos who should be ignored. They are not the fringe. They are the mainstream to a certain extent.
Yes, they are. Or they're being mainstream.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that they've done really well that I've talked about a lot is they had this private way of talking where they'd say things like this amongst themselves and they wouldn't get in front of a camera or a microphone and say them. Now that they're consolidating power, they feel like they can bring more of their private crazy, their private extremism, out into the public sphere and pound their chests and be proud of it. And so that's what you see Pete Hegseth doing. Even 3 years ago, Greg, they would not have gotten in front of a microphone or a camera or put something like this on social media. The head of the Department of Defense would not have done that. But now they feel like they're consolidating enough power and there are enough of them in the right positions that they can say things like this, that they can try to even more mainstream these thoughts and these beliefs and try to force them into our public spaces and into our laws. And that's what their goals are. You know, that's what Doug Wilson wants.
Yes.
He wants a Christian nationalist theocracy. And he says that readily. But so does Russell Vogt.
Yep.
Who's the head of the Office of Management and Budget and controls now the purse strings of the entire federal government. He only believes that white Christian nationalist men should be politicians and should be working in government. And he's gone on the record as saying that. So they're very publicly saying things now that they would only say privately even 2 or 3 years ago. It's frightening, but Americans have to stop being complacent and realize that this isn't just a small cadre of crazy people. It's millions and millions of Americans.
If you're just joining us, you listen to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are speaking with Andra Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, also has a wonderful Substack called For Such a Time as This. And Andra, I think also I think that's a great way you put it, the mainstreaming of this idea. I also think something that we need to combat is also the fact that we just have so much information coming at us at all time. It's every day there is a controversial thing out there. Someone has said something that's surely going to get someone in trouble, and they don't get in trouble because 2 hours later something else happens. So Pete Hegseth tweeting retweeting this person out, it's awful, it's terrible, but an hour later, the people who are outraged are moving on to something else
because there's so much.
They're either picking their kids up or they're watching a different news story. So I guess the question I have is, how do people then engage in these topics in a meaningful, relative way to keep them fresh, essentially? Because, like, we're trying not to let people forget about Epstein. We're trying to not let people forget about the big, beautiful bill for billionaires. But it's tough.
But it's all connected.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people who are pushing all of these things are pushing all of these things at once. And a lot of these things are being done as distractions to keep us from paying attention to the MAGA murder law now that's stripping our safety nets and our health care and other things away so that billionaires can have tax breaks. A lot of this other stuff is theater for that. But you have to understand that the people in the background in the administration who were really in charge, who were really implementing this, use the president because he's really good at keeping people distracted yes. and outraged and giving us things to chase. So, you know, my advice to Americans is don't even pay attention to him. I very seldom write about him or talk about him. You know, I keep the attention on these people in the background who were really in charge of implementing this stuff. So rather than talk about Pete Hegseth, I try to talk about the Christian nationalist men who are behind people like Pete Hegseth, who are encouraging them to have these opinions and keep the pressure on them and keep people paying attention to them, because they're the real problems, and that's who we should be talking about every day.
Well, and I think you
as mean, part of the attention
of the this. of the bigger picture. Yeah, most yeah. definitely.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, going back to something that you said, that this effort to mainstream this Christian nationalist view has been going on for decades. It's been going on for 50 years. And the Duggars, remember the Duggar family with their 9,000 children and all of the controversies that followed that. Amazon has a great piece called Shiny Happy People about the Duggars and that whole movement. That was the Quiverful movement. They're all kind of interconnected, right, as far as women being second-class citizens. And essentially, we're just there to have – we're there to deliver babies, which – Pete Hegseth's favorite pastor says requires no skill.
Right. And women are just, you know, people who produce other people.
It just happens.
And that doesn't require any talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just vessels and chattel, and that's really all we're good for. So, you know, that is a key component of whatever flavor of Christian nationalism you're touting or they're touting. One of the things that I say a lot of the times when I come on here, though, is these people all hate each other internally. So Doug Wilson doesn't believe that women should have any leadership role in a church, as an example. So he hates the Dominionist New Apostolic Reformation faction, where people like Paula White Cain, who have the ear of the president,
right,
can be in leadership positions. So there's going to at some point be a huge ruction between these factions because they don't agree about a lot of things.
We're going to continue our conversation with Andra Watkins, best-selling New York Times author and the owner of the Substack called For Such a Time as This. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Andra Watkins. She is a New York Times bestselling author and also has a great Substack called For Such a Time as This, and has been watching very closely the increasing influence of Christian nationalism in the Trump administration, thanks to some of the authors of Project 2025. We now have these Christian nationalist members within the Trump administration working in the administration. Pete Hegseth, the head of the Defense Department, retweeted his favorite pastor last week, Doug Wilson, who doesn't think women should have the right to vote. Let's go back to the good old days, like the 1800s when everything was ducky. Andra, you have a really good column that you shared about what we can do to fight back against this and who our defenders need to be. I think this is really an important message.
And I want to go back to Greg's comment about apologizing for being a white man. You shouldn't apologize for being a white man, Greg. You're one of the men who could be standing up to this right now, which you are. But Christian nationalist men are trained not to listen to women. They do not listen to women speak. They do not give women opportunities to talk. They do not hear women. I said earlier today to someone else, women to them are like the Charlie Brown cartoons. And when adults talk in the Charlie Brown cartoons, it's annoying noise. And to white Christian nationalist men, that's women talking. And also to white Christian nationalist women, they are indoctrinated to only listen to men and to the other white Christian nationalist women that those white Christian nationalist men tell them to listen to. So they don't listen to any other women either besides the women those men tell them to listen to. So it's really important. Women can fight back against this, and we are. But men have to stand up to this and say, this is not acceptable. We are not going to sit back and watch you white Christian nationalist men attack our women, attack other women, remove rights from women, oppress women, tell women they can't vote, tell women they can't have bodily autonomy. And it's really important for men to get that message right now, because Heather Cox Richardson wrote a few months ago about the Taliban and how when they first came in Afghanistan, they took rights away from women. Women are practically enslaved in their homes now in Afghanistan and can't even leave their homes without a male relative who's an escort for them. But now in the past few months, the Taliban have switched to men. They tell men how to wear their beards. They tell men how to dress. They give men tickets if they don't go to temple, to Islamic temple, a certain number of times a month because they're required to be there. And if they miss a certain number of times now, they can be jailed and fined.
I bet they don't like that.
And the men are saying, what is this? You know, we didn't want this kind of control. And we wish we had stepped up a couple of years ago or more when they were taking rights away from women. Now we didn't realize they'd come after us.
Oh yeah.
So men realize that these men will come after you too. And step up now and defend women, because you're the only people they might listen to, and you're the people who might be able to stop them.
And that's something that completely aligns with an idea we have talked about for a long time now, which is, yes, you may support this. You may think some of these ideas are great coming out of the Trump administration, but eventually they will affect you too. And then we're already seeing people who are saying, I didn't vote for this. Yes, you did. Own it and let's move on together. But you have to own the fact that you voted for this and it'll affect you eventually someday. And you standing there going, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. I don't like this. You don't. But here we are. Let's move together and let's go forward. But yes, that is an amazing example. And We see it all the time. People are just like, I just didn't know this was going to happen to us. I'm like, well, that doesn't matter anymore. We got to work.
Well, and admit that you were lied to.
Yes.
That you were lied to. That's probably the hardest part.
Well, and it's funny to me to watch somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene now, who is a woman who has voted for all of this, who has enabled all of this. And suddenly it seems like scales are falling off of her eyes and she's realizing that enabling all of these white Christian nationalist men and supporting them and parroting what they say is not giving her more power. It's not elevating her any further. I think she realizes that at some point she's going to be told, you've served your purpose, go back home and stay at home now.
Yeah.
And so that is what a few of these women, I think, are starting to see. But they're coming for all of us, and they will eventually come for you men. So stand up now. Say no now. It's imperative that you do.
Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author, has an incredible Substack. I highly encourage you to subscribe. It's called For Such a Time as This. We will include a link in our show notes. Andrew Watkins, thank you so very much. Really, really appreciate your insight. We will see you next month.
Bye. Great to be here.
We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk to Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to The Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Network app.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.